Welcome to Lost River Legends. Our motto, Ex Tenebris, is Latin for out of the shadows. We attempt to understand the complex world around us and bring light to subjects hidden in darkness. We explore paranormal topics with guests from all around the world. Now welcome your Lost River Legends hosts, James and Brett. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome this evening to Lost River Legends. This is one of your hosts, James. I'm joined today by Andrew of Florida. Andrew, how are you doing today?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, thank you. So Andrew's had a lot of really interesting experiences throughout his life, and they started early in his childhood. Andrew, could you fill us in on your childhood experience?
Yeah, pretty much. I've lived in Florida pretty much my whole life, except for a couple of years when I was younger. We had moved over to Hawaii on Oahu, and basically from 5 to 7 years old, we lived over there in Hawaii. So probably I was about 6 years old, and we lived in Nanakuli. It's on the west side of Oahu, a few miles probably from Pearl Harbor. But we pretty much lived about a mile from the ocean and a mile from the mountains on some farmland. I just remember it was one night, it was my sister and my two brothers, and they're all older than me. My brothers are pretty much, you know, my first brother would be a year older than me. The other brother would be 2 years older. And then my sister's basically 5 years older than me. So I was about 6 years old, he's 7, 8, and my sister's probably about 11. And we were in the back bedroom. They're playing Uno. I'm jumping on the bed. And I could hear what sounded like maybe some little kids or something running up to the window. I thought it was the neighbors. And so it kind of drew our attention over to the window. And, of course, the windows are open, but you got the screen there. And sure enough, a face pressed itself up against the screen, but it was a small face, probably the size of a softball, maybe a little bit larger, but, and it was a brown face, almost like a Hawaiian, but it was an old man, a small face of an old man pressed up against the screen. And we were all pretty much just looking at it for a couple of seconds, and then it started to chuckle, started to laugh, a real creepy laugh, which made my sister just freak out and scream and take off running, which kind of freaked the rest of us out. And we all just turned tail and ran with her into the living room. And I guess for a second, we were all kind of blaming on my grandfather, because my grandfather, of course, was Hawaiian. My grandmother had remarried to a Hawaiian man. And but him and my father were sitting on the couch, and my grandma and my mother were in the kitchen. And we ran in there screaming, you know, that we seen something. It was laughing at us and whatnot. And he just pretty much set us down and told us a story of the mini hoonies that live in the mountain, which is some small people, which are like pretty much like leprechauns, but a little bit different. They ain't got no pot of gold or whatnot, but they do have folklore and stuff like that about them. But at the time I was young, I didn't know until my grandfather kind of explained this to us, that must have been what it was. Pretty much mini hoonies. Whenever I could hear him running up to the window, like I said, I thought it was the neighbor kids, because we were friends with some of the neighbor kids that were around. And even though it was dark time, probably around, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night, you could see that little face press itself. But always thinking back, I always remember I thought I could hear like little kids laughing, giggling outside. And my grandfather tried to, you know, tell us that, of course, there must have been more of them. And it was probably the young ones, but the chief or the leader was the one that looked in on us and decided to laugh at us. I don't think, I mean, looking back at it, I don't necessarily think it was nefarious. I think he was probably just looking at us, having fun and laughing with us maybe, but it just sounded creepy as hell. But yeah, that would pretty much be that story.
Okay. So I want to dive a little bit deeper on that. And I know it was probably a little bit of a traumatic experience as a kid. Are you able to give a little bit more detailed description? Is there anything that you've ever seen that resembles that? That what's the closest thing that you can think of, whether it's a character in a movie or a cross of two animals or whatever?
I mean, it was definitely human-like. I couldn't necessarily put it to any character necessarily, but the skin color to me looked like a regular Hawaiian as far as brown, but it definitely looked like a small wrinkled face. And I really, you know, not too much great detail because it was just a small little face being pressed up against the screen or the window.
And did you see anything else? Did you see a body or is it just the face?
Just the face. And I remember that was another thing of us talking with my grandfather because, of course, these houses or trailers that we were staying in, they're houses, but they're built off the ground. So it had to be, you know, 2 foot off the ground. And I remember kind of maybe my sister or somebody bringing that up saying, well, if they're, you know, my grandfather trying to tell us that they're only anywhere from, you know, 12 inches to a foot and a half tall, maybe 2 foot tall to the tallest. And someone asking, well, if they're that short, how was it looking in the window? And my grandfather's saying, well, they probably built a pyramid, you know, with the other ones on the ground so they could stand on them because they're known for doing that and just playing games.
Wow, that's an outstanding story. Have you heard or seen any other Minnehuni related stories trying to make sense of this?
I remember later on in my life and talking to my grandmother, who was married to the Hawaiian, and asking her about it and trying to get more information. She told a story that her mother was over there with her and staying also. And that this is the story that she said, that she was in the bathroom, using the bathroom on the toilet, and a Minnehuni appeared and was looking at her and started, you know, and was basically giggling, just smiling at her. And she, you know, screamed at it, get the hell out of here, or something to that effect, and it disappeared. And I remember saying to my grandmother, well, hang on, then we got something different, because what I saw was flesh and blood. It wasn't magical or mythical, would disappear like a ghost or something. But I guess at the time, I really wasn't, you know, believing that maybe it's possible that they can do that. But that's a different story, because like I said, I didn't see something disappear or appear. If something was there, I heard it running up to the window.
So that kind of lends a little bit of credence to it being a bit of a trickster. That crosses over to a lot of what we hear with Pukwudgies and some of the other little people. Now, it being on the island, you know, they could have evolved differently. They can be something completely different altogether.
Yes. And what was kind of funny is in these last couple of years where I kind of been researching a little bit and trying to get more information, I did find a story on the internet. And sure enough, it's from pretty much 1986, 1987, about the same time frame. And it talks about, I think it's Nanakuli High School. And all of a sudden, the principal and some of the faculty had a sighting and chased a Minnehuni underneath the school, because the schools are also lifted up like trailers or whatnot. But yeah, that was one of the stories I found on the internet that I thought was kind of funny, that it was almost the same time frame and right down the street from where I lived.
You know, and
so, yeah,
that's interesting, because I wouldn't really pin it on like a principal or an educator to come out with a story like that, to make up something like that, just because of, you know, the reputation of a lot of people in education. They want to be credible and seen as people of authority.
Right.
So that's fascinating.
So Andrew, this is Brett. I just had a follow-up question with you. So we had a group on from Montana, and there's a story of a tribe of ancient Indians that's very similar in description to what you're talking about. Have you seen anything as far as anything similar, I guess, in stories now that you're in the States and you're away from Hawaii?
Yeah, I mean, in my research, I found pretty much over there in North Carolina, I think it is. And there's a report of pretty much maybe East Carolina University or something like that, whenever they were building it or doing a renovation. And there's an author, I guess she wrote some books about it, but I guess whenever they were doing some of the renovations or whatnot, they found small caves, 2 foot tall, leading into the mountains. And that was pretty much the same story that I got from my grandfather, was that they lived in the mountains and they had small caves. He said that he had went on expeditions looking for them when he lived there, and he had found small caves with small footprints leading into the caves. But that was like the same story that I was able to find out in North Carolina or South Carolina. I think it's North Carolina, but I think it was out in the University of East Carolina is where they were actually finding this stuff, and they were just filling it in and backfilling over everything.
That's fascinating. And it's interesting that there's stories in several states across the United States and now Hawaii that we're being told by you. That we have these accounts of little people. And I did want to ask, I mean, you said that when you were a child, there was the one that pressed its face against the window. And so there was obviously others there lifting it up or standing on their backs, and it was very physical. But you described one that disappeared. It was your grandmother. Did she have any explanation as to how that happened, or was there any description of that creature that was similar to the one that you saw in your childhood?
Yeah, that had been my great grandmother that actually seen it.
Okay,
that
thank
it disappeared.
You.
And she said that it was, you know, 1.5, 2 foot tall. She said it had like a loincloth on or something like that. had no shirt, but had something for like a loincloth covering its bottom. I really don't have any more great detail. I didn't have a chance as I was older. She had already passed away, so I didn't necessarily have a chance to talk to her personally. I was talking to my grandmother, getting a secondhand story from her about that.
Well, that's great. Thanks for delving into that with us. One last little data point that's kind of interesting. If you're familiar with missing 411, the only missing 411 case that we have in Hawaii that is at least documented on David Pilates on his map is on Oahu and is near Pearl Harbor.
Right.
Not to say that it's related, but you know, it's one of those things that's like kind of makes you go, okay, I don't know. Maybe weirdness is attached to that.
Oh, that's one thing. There's a lot of weirdness. At least that's what my grandmother always told me. And my aunt and uncle had also moved over there at the same time that we were over there. And that was the reason why they left, was because all the weirdness that was happening to them. And I didn't find this out till about 10 years ago when my aunt was telling me that, oh yeah, that's the reason why we only stayed about 9 months, because of all the weird things that was pretty much happening, going on in the house, going on around. And then of course the racism, because we were over there staying, like I said, on the west side of Nanakuli, which is with the locals. We wasn't staying with the tourists in the tourist section or on a military base. We were staying in the middle of the I wouldn't call them ghettos, but farmland with the locals, where they don't necessarily like how he's and I was, you know, blonde hair, not blue eyes, but, you know,
gotcha.
Bright blonde hair. So,
yeah.
So that was the reasons why they left, was because of all the weird supernatural stuff. And, you know, there's stories of roads over there that you can't travel on. If you got pork inside your car will just die and you can't go any further till you throw the pork out. There's, you know, weird stories over there in Hawaii.
I've never heard that before. So yeah, it's interesting. Just all these just cross sections of information, how they seem to overlap. So, well, I'd like to move on to one of your next experience, which is probably that last one is pretty standout to me, but the next one definitely makes you wonder what the heck is going on. Could you get into that a little bit more?
Gotcha. I guess this happened, I would say, probably around 2013, 2014, somewhere around that time. And we had just moved into a new subdivision, gated community, and they had built onto it. And where they had built onto it, it was a wooded section, so they had cleared a lot of woods up to a certain point, and then it was more woods. And they built these more houses and some duplexes or whatnot. And, of course, we had moved in right there on the end, pretty much the last ones before the woods. But they still had, you know, probably at least another 10 lots cleared before the woods. But there was no more neighbors on that side or behind us, except there was one neighbor probably about 60, 70 yards away that you could see. But it was the first night that we were actually staying at this place. And it was probably about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was up late. My wife had fell asleep pretty much on my lap with her head on my lap. I was watching TV. And so pretty much most of the lights are out. And all of a sudden there's this bright, bright green flash. And then the flash goes away. But then there's a dim green light, which almost the way I would describe it is almost the same color as the Matrix type color. And so this lightly illuminated green light, it almost looks like dust particles, is illuminating the room. And starting pretty much at the floor is a solid green light, pretty much looking like a laser, going up, scanning me and the rest of the room. So I freaked out and screamed, which woke my wife up. But as soon as pretty much she opened her eyes, it had disappeared. I had jumped straight to my feet, freaked out. And, you know, now the light disappear. I look out the sliding glass door behind me, and I can only see the one house off probably 50, 60 yards away. And I can see the green laser is scanning that house. And by the time I try to look and point it out, it disappears. And that was pretty much it. And at this time, you know, she's like, what is it? What is it? I got tears running down my face. You didn't see that? It was a damn green light, and it was scanning us. So that's what, and then it was scanning the other house behind us. As I was, but she didn't see nothing, so I was the only one sitting there freaked out, wondering what the hell that was.
Wow.
So yeah, some type of green laser was scanning us in the house at the middle of the night.
That's crazy. That's really wild. I've never heard anything like that. A question for you, though, is there, I mean, did you see the source of the light? I mean, was it like an orb that came in? Was it coming through a window? Like, did you see an origin of the light at all?
No, I did not. Even, like I said, it was basically just like a almost like a power surge, but a bright green light. And then all of a sudden, the room was filled with like a dusty looking green, a slightly illuminated green light. And then there was a hard green laser starting from the bottom, just like a scanner. And it was started up and started going right up the room. Went right up the TV, went right up me, my wife. I remember looking down and it was illuminating pretty much her face and going up my chest when I screamed. And but by the time she opened her eyes, and I pretty much jumped to my feet, and it's like, what? And then I'm looking out the window, you know, sliding glass door at this time, and I see it scanning the house behind us. I try to point it out, and boom, it's gone. But I didn't necessarily see no craft. I didn't see it, you know, a laser coming down. I just seen the house being scanned with a green light.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. And it's even more interesting to me. And by the way, this is Brett speaking. It's more interesting to me because during my wife and I, we've been married almost 15 years. And during our first year of marriage, we had, it wasn't quite like this, but we were driving. It was close to Christmas time and we're driving out in the middle of nowhere, driving home to our apartment. And the inside of our truck all of a sudden became illuminated. And it wasn't green, it was a blue color. Almost like the Tesseract from the Avengers. It was kind of that color, like an electric blue. And it illuminated the whole inside of our truck. And we're in the boonies driving on this dark, desolate road. close to midnight, and there's no one else on the road, and here's this light illuminating the inside of our truck, and we saw no origin of the light. Right. It just kind of pulsated in and then just kind of flushed out, and it was gone. And so I definitely understand how strange those things can be. But that's crazy that you actually got up and saw that the neighbor, their house was being scanned as well. That's crazy. Did you hear any sounds or feel any weird sensations that you couldn't explain?
Not on that occurrence. There was nothing like that I could, you know, recollect or recall that besides actually just seeing it. No feeling or nothing like that. Besides scared afterwards. Like I said, instantly I had tears running down my face. I remember that. So my wife could tell that something had happened because, you know, she could see the tears running down my eyes where I didn't know what to think at the time.
So I remember asking you when I had talked to you previously about the same experience, if you thought it was an entity, a piece of technology, or if it was something maybe man-made, like kind of what bucket would you even be able to put that in?
I mean, for that one, I was, you know, thinking some type of extraterrestrial, interdimensional, something along those lines as far as that experience.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of there's the droids that get sent down on Star Wars that go down and kind of scope things out on, you know, I think in Empire Strikes Back, you know, on the Hoth system, they kind of go down and that's kind of what they do, is they kind of scope things out and scan and kind of move on and report back. It kind of somehow has that feel to me.
Yes. I think it's Wall-E, the Disney movie, where they have like one of those probes that's going around pretty much just scanning different things and deciding whether it's junk or something like that. But yeah, that's kind of the feeling I got off of it. I don't know whether or not it was necessarily being piloted by an intelligent source or if it was just an automated thing where it was scanning, you know, in my mind, I was thinking it could be scanning anything new in the area because the homes had just been built, and then all of a sudden it just gets some new occupants and it's trying to find out who's the new people in town. I don't know.
Well, with, you know, military technology and drone technology taking some very interesting turns lately, you know, I wouldn't put it past a big corporation to kind of be doing that to map an area or to update their GIS information. So I wouldn't totally rule that out, but it just does seem very ominous either way.
Yes.
So you also have, I think, is it the same location? You have another experience that you had that your family also was there for.
Yes. This probably around, you know, 6 months later, we're at the same home. It was probably around 8 o'clock at night, and I go outside to smoke a cigarette, and I'm standing there, and at this time, I was doing a lot of research, so I'm probably looking up in the sky a little bit more than the usual person, and so I'm looking up, and all of a sudden, I see a light source, and I remember at the time, I could look around, and, you know, in the distance, I could see aircraft flying and whatnot, different, you know, miles away on different points of the sky that I was looking at. But I seen a source of light. It was a red light. It was hard to judge distance, and I'm not very good, especially at altitudes, trying to just look out in the horizon. But this light looked like it was, you know, at least a few miles away, and it was pretty much headed in my direction, and it was coming from the southwest. So this light is coming pretty much towards me, but not at a direct angle, from a couple miles away. Like I said, it's a red orb. And I watch as all of a sudden it splits into two red orbs. And then the second orb that split out of it zooms across the sky, horizontal with it at a high rate of speed. Gets, I don't know, you know, description, it's hard to say, but it gets a few hundred yards away from it or a few thousand yards away from it, whatnot, and then starts bing, 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 just bouncing at different, you know, taking sharp cut turns and just bouncing all over the sky. And it does this for about 30 seconds. It's doing this. You know, at this time I start calling for my family to come out to witness it. And my son and my daughter come out, and pretty much that the first light is still just traveling at a slow rate at the same direction that it was going in. So then this other light is bouncing off the sky, does this for like 20, 30 seconds, comes back, you know, at the same trajectory and at the same plane as the first light, and then slowly rejoins it and morphs back into a single light. And as it continues to travel at a slow rate, and then it's boom, blinks out and disappears. And like I said, my son and daughter had come out to see the light bouncing across and basically rejoin with the first light. About 30 seconds later, off to my left, appears, and this is a yellow light, which looks a lot bigger. This is probably like the size of a beach ball instead of being just the size of maybe like a baseball perspective. The first light, this light's the size of a beach ball. So it must be a lot closer. And like I said, it's more of a yellowish orange instead of red. And it's more moving away from me. And so this light's traveling. And sure enough, another light, the same color, size, morphs out of it. This light drops downwards really quickly, almost like it's falling straight down, stops, and then starts binging across the sky also. Just, you know, zooming here, and then changing direction, and going straight up, changing direction, and going at an angle across here, and just doing that for about 20 to 30 seconds. My kids are right there witness all this. And then it comes back, zoom, right underneath it, goes up, slowly morphs right back into the first light, travels a small little distance further, and it disappears. You know, this is going on. At this time, I could hear some buzzing noise going on, like I said, and off in the far distance, I could still see small aircraft or, you know, what looked to be small. I don't know how big they were because they were far distance, but I could see different aircraft traveling around the airspace, and I could hear a buzzing noise as this was going on. I do remember, you know, at the same time that the second light was bouncing around, I had quickly, you know, put my head in the door and was trying to call my wife out to come out, but she didn't want nothing to do with it. You know, she's almost like an ostrich wanting to stick her head in the sand. She don't want to see anything to do with that shit. She's almost like an Indian, I guess, that don't even want to talk about it. So, yeah, she didn't even want to come outside to witness it. But I remember kind of sticking my head in and my daughter going inside with me. And when we turned around, and the home had like the little walkway where you walked out the door, but you had 5 or 6 foot of a little walkway before you got in front of the garage. So I remember we turned around to go back out real quick. And as we were walking just a few steps, I got hit with like a static electricity is what I took it as. But at that time, my daughter, who was right next to me, said, "Oh, Dad, we just ran into a spider web." But I knew there wasn't no spider web there. We had just walked inside through that same spot. So there was no way a spider within 30 seconds did a web. So I knew that we had, you know, hit a static or magnetic field that we could both feel. But yeah, that was it.
That's a pretty remarkable experience that you had there. And your level of description of it is very detailed. Do you know, have you been able to look and see if there's any UFO reports from that same area around the same time? There's several databases online. Have you been able to maybe try to correlate it with other people's sightings?
No, I mean, I've tried to look up a little bit, and I've actually found some like footage of, you know, UFOs in Spring Hill, but none of the footage that I've seen and any of the couple stories that I've been able to find match up with any of the description where it wasn't the same type of UFO, where the video shows something, some other type of anomaly, not a an orb and, you know, another orb morphing out of it and bouncing around the sky type. Yeah.
And what is the closest Air Force base or military base?
The closest major military base, I would say, would be MacDill Air Force Base, which is a pretty big. It's where Southern Command's out of. But as far as just regular small airports or whatnot, we do have a county airport, Brooksville Regional Airport. So there is places for aircraft and stuff to land. And I remember you had asked me that question in our pre-interview. And that, you know, I kind of had got the impression that it was some type of military exercise and maybe holograms or something, just because of how unreal like the lights acted and moved.
So, you know, I want to say that there's somebody that documents a few different UFO sightings around MacDill. He has a YouTube channel. I'd have to look him up. But I want to say that there's a couple of really good videos of some interesting craft that have been spotted around that area and be worth worth checking out.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
Now, being that you work on aircraft, is there, I mean, you obviously kind of know how to identify and you know what aircraft look like versus something that's non-traditional, would you say?
Yes, for sure.
Well, that's just outstanding. And that description of the static electricity in the air, that's something that I want to say accompanies a lot of different sightings. Not very often is there a sound and that static together, from what I understand.
Right. Yeah, I mean, my daughter, she felt it pretty good. Like I said, she thought it was a spider web she had walked into. But no, I knew there was no way there was a spider web. And I remember at the time, too, I was kind of freaking out, like, you guys are seeing this, right? You guys are, like, trying to get my kids to confirm it. And it's funny, they're pretty much calming me down, like, yeah, Dad, we see it. It's okay, calm down. And I'm just like, well, this ain't something you get to see all the time. This is a special event. This is something weird.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I've had an experience where I saw something on the side of the highway near West Hollywood, and my first instinct is like, that can't be real. You know, we're next to Hollywood. It's got to be a movie prop. And my first instinct after I got off the highway, instead of driving towards it, was to drive away from it. It's just kind of fascinating how in the moment your brain, you know, time is different. I wouldn't say,
right.
I wouldn't say there was missing time for me or anything weird like that, but the memory of it, the memory of that time, of that experience is definitely different from other memories.
Right. Yeah. You would think your curiosity would kind of pull you that way to go ahead and, well, here, let me verify, or let me see what I was possibly seeing. But whether or not it's a third sense or something, or sixth sense, whatever they call it, kicking in, telling you, say, no, don't go that way. Might be better off just going the other way.
Yeah, I think we might be programmed to respond that way for whatever reason.
Yes.
Well, you've got quite the gambit of experiences. I'd really like you to just take a deep breath and before going into the next one, because I know it's pretty emotional.
Yeah. The next one, I was pretty much just getting my faith back. I had pretty much for a few years lost my faith. I had got really deep into researching the ancient alien thing and was getting really, you know, pretty much lost in all the disinformation and starting to believe that, you know, we were more created by aliens and we were hybrids and all that stuff, instead of pretty much just going back to our Bible and what it tells us about the fallen angels and the Nephilim. and then all the other books, the Apocrypha books that were pretty much not canonized and taken out, like Enoch and Jubilee, and some of the others that actually expand on it and explain it a lot deeper. But so yeah, I had pretty much been a few years back into getting my faith and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would still do a lot of research on cryptid zoology and stuff like that. And like I was trying to tell you before, my wife's of the opinion that you really can't believe on the Lord and still research this stuff. That's pretty much like dabbling in witchcraft. And, you know, I differ on that point where, you know, I think you can research and get knowledge and still not play around, because I understand that realm of it in a way, but I don't feel that I'm inviting it. I don't feel that I'm inviting the Bigfoot or Dogman to show up by just reading the you know, firsthand accounts or stories about it. But either way, I had got back into my faith, but I was still doing a lot of research into cryptozoology and Dogman. And at this time, I was working down in Gainesville at the University of Florida, and I was actually staying with my niece at the time, which was just a few blocks away from the campus. And I was working night shift, but I had went to bed pretty late, probably around 2 o'clock in the morning. And somewhere around 3:30 in the morning, I was sleeping on the couch, and I was awoken to something growling in my ear. And the way that I was laying on my stomach with my head down, and I am partially deaf in one of my ears, but the way I was laying, and all of a sudden this deep guttural growl is pretty much growling at me. And she does have a dog, so my first thought was that maybe her dog, as I'm kind of raising up listening to this growl, I'm thinking that her dog had got underneath the couch and was growling at something. So I'm kind of waking up, and I push myself up a little bit in a push-up position, and I yell out the dog's name, Lainey. And all of a sudden, I could hear the dog running down the stairs, because she had one of those little bells on her, and I could hear her running down the stairs. And this growling still going on, and it's getting louder and louder in my ear. So I pretty much, boom, just jump up to my feet. And as I do that, the dog gets down to the bottom of the stairs, and the dog's going crazy right there next to me, just barking and growling, but at nothing. She's kind of, you know, twitching back in 180 back and forth. And, you know, probably within a second or two of the dog getting there and doing that, the growling just stopped. But I never seen nothing. I only heard. I didn't smell nothing. But I do have a bad nose, so unless the house is burning down, I probably wouldn't smell very much. But I didn't smell nothing. I just heard this deep guttural growl in my ear. Something I couldn't see was growling at me. And that kind of freaked me out, because I was thinking, you know, is it the dog man? Because I'm researching about him. All of a sudden, he's pissed off and don't want me researching about him. But my other thought is, I know how students are, young students, especially at universities and whatnot, and getting into witchcraft and black magic, this and that, that, you know, playing with Ouija boards or whatever, that very easily they could be opening up portals and gates or whatnot, inviting things in. And that, you know, there could have been some type of demonic spirit or something just going by and seeing the light from the Lord Jesus Christ coming off of me, decided just to go ahead and mess with me a little bit and growl at me and show me he didn't like me or something. I don't know. That's kind of the perspective. I didn't know which one to go for, whether I wanted to believe that the dog man knew I was researching him, or whether or not there just happened to be some type of demonic activity going by, and seeing the light coming from me was just angry that he couldn't harm me or do something else.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I mean, that's a life-changing moment right there that really puts things into perspective. And you said that no other senses were triggered. I mean, obviously, you were scared because of of what happened. Did it sound more animalistic, or did it sound more human? Is there any way that you could tell the difference between?
It to me, it sounded like a wolf or something. It sounded like a very deep guttural, the biggest dog or a big wolf is kind of, it sounded more animalistic.
Okay. And how close proximity would you estimate that to be to, like, in your vicinity? How close do you think it was to you?
I got the perception that it was right there, inches from my ear is the way that it felt. Excuse my language, but yeah, that's kind of, you know, the way I thought it was, because of the way my head was, I guess I thought it was underneath me. So I thought it was with inches right underneath my couch.
Okay.
But like I said, I thought it was the dog, but yes, it was pretty much just right directly into my ear is where the sound was coming from. Was coming from right next to my ear.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't like coming from the room. It was coming from right next to my ear.
You know, and right you talked, me. Yeah, and you talked earlier in that story that, you know, you're kind of coming from the Bible perspective, a Christian perspective, and you mentioned that it might have been like some, maybe a demonic attack of some kind, maybe testing you or something like that. Do you feel like, I mean, what was the feeling in the room after that happened and after you kind of calmed your nerves? Do you still have that fear, that flight or fight going on?
Yeah. Yes. Cause, I know I didn't go back to bed that night. I stayed up for the rest of the rest of the morning until the light came up. And even then I just stayed up and then went to work the next day, whatnot. I remember I instantly, there was no windows on that wall that I was sleeping on, but at the back of the house by the kitchen, there was a sliding glass door, and I definitely went to the sliding glass door and pulled back the shade and was looking, even though I was kind of nervous to even do it. But yeah, I was looking to see if I saw anything necessarily around the house. And, you know, I'm a smoker. There's no smoking in the house, but I opened the door and stood right there at the door because I didn't go outside. I didn't dare go outside. So I just stood at the door, kind of blowing it out the door as I smoked, looking around.
Well, you mentioned that the dog was freaking out too. I mean, we know that dogs do that with a dark presence as well. So, you know, that they're a little bit more attuned to that. And a lot of times cats and dogs can really sense when there's something off.
Yes. I definitely kept the dog down there with me. You know, if it acted like it was trying to leave, I would go get a damn piece of bologna or something out of the fridge, something to chum it up and keep it right there next to me. Cause I understand that too, that it would be able to feel something before I would, some type of presence. So I was trying to look for its reactions, but it never did act weird or like it felt anything different. And I didn't necessarily feel anything. And I wasn't getting the feeling that something was watching me or nothing. You know, I wasn't getting that feeling after it happened, because that would have been freaking me out more. I probably would have just left. But yeah, I wasn't necessarily getting any extra feelings after. It was almost as if the air had settled and it had left. Nothing was there. I didn't feel uptight necessarily about nothing besides of what the hell happened? What the hell was that? And, you know, how do I even talk about that one and explain it? You know, because even with my family and friends, I'm definitely considered like a credible person that ain't going to be making stuff up. And even as I tried to tell a few people to get it off my chest, they're just like kind of looking at me like, so they don't know what to believe, I guess. I guess it's, you know, everybody's own experience. And it's one of those things where I guess you had to be there. I guess you had to live through it to understand it.
So, this being your niece's place, have you ever told her?
Oh yeah. I told her about it right afterwards. You know, she just kind of laughed it off that, you know, I'm her crazy uncle that, you know, cause of course I would bring it up and talk to the people around me as far as the, you know, the Bigfoot, the Sasquatch, the different stories. So sometimes they knew that I would, you know, I was into that. They knew that I would research stuff like that. So, oh boy, now Uncle's really getting far into it. Now he says something's growling at him that ain't even there. You know, she was only renting the place. She, at the time, I think she was a sophomore in college. that was a good thing because she ended up enrolling at the University of Florida. And then me and her father was basically working down there at the campus. So that kind of worked out great. But, you know, she ended up moving out and going to a different place, not because of that situation, because she said she never felt nothing weird or anything about it.
That was going to be my next question, is if she ever had anything happen.
One thing that was funny is I remember like 6 months after this, when she was still in the place, she had posted on Instagram of coming home and finding her the mirror inside the bathroom had fell off the wall and was just sitting there on the floor shattered. And, you know, and I remember she had posted like, "Is this something weird that happened?" And then whenever I had seen her a few months later after that, I had kind of brought that up to her like, "Hey, I seen that Instagram post. Do you think it was something weird?" And she kind of, "No, no." I'm like, "Well, you said you thought it was weird." "No, I mean, I just thought it was weird that it was broke." I'm like, "Oh, I thought there was some type of other circumstances around it." But no, she kind of just blew me off. And, you know, I think if she really felt creeped out or something, she would have brought it up, I think. But yeah, she just said, "Oh, no." But I was like, "Oh, I got the impression from the Instagram post that you thought there was something weird with that." But she said no. And
well, yeah, I agree. You wouldn't want to chase that down any further. Well, that's quite a bit of strangeness going on as you tie them all together. Do you think there's any relation from one thing to the next, if there's any correlation with any of it?
I don't necessarily think there's a, you know, I don't put a correlation of something being connected of my life or something following me or something like that. Besides the correlation that I think it's all some type of supernatural and all of the metaphysical realm, the unexplained. Besides that, that's the only correlation. Is I think it all goes into that category of, you know, something that don't rely on the same laws and same principles that we are governed by.
That seems like a likely answer. You know, there's got to be something that governs them. And the question is what, you know, what is that? And that's kind of what we're in pursuit of, is figuring out what causes these things, what they mean for humanity, and what we can do about them as far as sharing the information.
Yes. Yes. And I got to go back to believing that just like the universe is balanced, you know, that there's good and evil. And, you know, I definitely see in, you know, the elite definitely seem to worship Satan. So if they believe that there's a Satan, then there's got to be the opposite of God. So I definitely, you know, believe that. Another thing I could tell you is when I was like 12, 13 years old, I met a magician. And, you know, at the time I was thinking about maybe becoming a magician myself. So, and he was my sister's friend. And, you know, so I was speaking to him a lot. And, you know, he pretty much came out and told me that he sold his soul to the devil and read out a contract in blood with the devil for his powers. And the same, what was kind of funny is the same magic tricks that he was showing me back then is about 15, 20 years later, the same magic tricks I seen David Blaine when he came out, he was doing the same ones, the same exact tricks. So in my own mind, I put together that it must be the same demon doing the same tricks. Yeah, because the same biting the coin and spitting it back, the same card, writing name on it, and, you know, throwing it, and all of a sudden it's inside the damn bottle, but it has your autograph on it, and how the hell did it get in there? You know, different stuff like that. It's the same stuff he would do. And, you know, he had admitted to me that, you know, that's really what you got to do. It's not his powers. There's someone else's powers that are given to him. Yeah, I seem to believe that.
Well, and we learn in the Bible, you know, with Moses, when he was with in front of the Pharaoh, Pharaoh's magicians and priests, they, you know, they turned their staffs into a snake, right?
Right. Yep.
So you got to remember that Moses threw down his staff, did the same thing, and the snake ate the other snakes.
It is snakes. Yes.
So shows a little bit of dominance, so to speak.
Yes. Yes. And I do think it's kind of funny or whatnot to, you think about a lot of the tricks that the magicians do, is a lot of them pretty much mocking Jesus, turning water to wine, that, you know, they'll take a little piece of bread and pull out a big loaf, dynamo, he'll take that little bucket of fish and sit there and keep pouring out fish after fish after fish. You like to levitate or walk on water. So just a coincidence that they seem to mock Jesus Christ a lot, whatever with their magic tricks.
Well, that's a really good point. That's something I've never really tied together. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on. We're excited to share this information with other people. Hopefully other people will feel comfortable in sharing their experiences. We're not necessarily an experiencer show, but Andrew, you were kind enough to reach out to us and want to share that with us and be a part of our show. So we can't thank you enough.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. I really do appreciate it, too. I was wanting to get it off of my chest and kind of put it out there, and was hoping that maybe someone had some type of similar experience so that I get some feedback and, you know, feel that I wasn't the only one out there alone dealing with these type of things. Maybe I could get a little bit of a closure or something out of it. So I appreciate it very much, gentlemen.
Well, pleasure has been all ours, and we hope that you continue to have a good, peaceful path in your life there with your family life and your career and all the things that you pursue.
Thank you very much. You too. Good luck on your channel. And I'll be listening.
Right on. Well, you have a good night.
You too, guys. Thank you.
Okay, see ya.
All right, bye.